Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Hello, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and here we are headed into our holiday weekend and week. It's really a full week with New Year's following so quickly. So I just want to say to people to remember to reach out to those you love. Take time to talk and listen, and it's more about relationships and what's under the Christmas tree. So I just want everybody to have a wonderful and a safe holiday weekend. I'm excited today because my guest is Starhawk, and Starhawk has been a presenter at Women of Wisdom a couple of times, recently I think just about 3 years ago, so it's going to be great to be talking to her today. She is the author of 11 books on goddess, religion, earth-based spirituality, and activism, including The Spiral Dance, The Fifth Sacred Thing, The Earth Path, and her picture book for young children, The Last Wild Witch, which is the winner of the Silver Nautilus Award. Her new book, The Empowerment Manual, A Guide for Collaborative Groups, is based on her decades of experience in circles and collectives. And with the rise of the Occupy movement, her work on power, process, and group dynamics is vital for understanding how directly democratic groups can function and grow. She is also a filmmaker, has worked on 4 documentaries with director Donna Reed Cooper, including their latest, Permaculture, The Growing Edge. And she's currently working on a feature production of her novel, The Fifth Sacred Thing. So I'm very excited to hear about that. She's one of the founders of the Pagan Spiritual Network Reclaiming and directs Earth Activist Trainings, offering permaculture design courses with a grounding in spirit and a focus on organizing. So you can read her blogs at www.starhawksblog.org. And our website is www.starhawk.org. So welcome, Starhawk.
It's great to talk to you again.
Yeah, so you've done a lot in your life. I mean, you're an author, filmmaker, social activist, a leader in the feminist movement, and then you do permaculture. I want to know, what drives you to do so much? And how do you deal with burnout?
Well, I guess I feel like I'm a really fortunate person in that I get to do the things that I love and that I'm passionate about. And I find when, as long as I'm doing those things, you know, the things that I feel really called to do, I'm excited by them and I really get fed by them. So I'm not really worried about burnout so much.
Oh, that's great to hear. So what inspired you when you were younger that brought you these passions for all these diverse things that you are involved in?
Well, for me, all the diverse things really kind of come from a similar understanding, which is that we as human beings are part of a larger life, which is the earth, that is sacred, and that the things that sustain our lives, the natural systems that we depend on for breathing and for eating and for drinking water, all of those things are the things that to me are sacred. They're the things that I care the most about. They're also the things that I draw energy from in a sense of renewal and hope from. And out of that, you know, I believe if you believe the sacred is embodied in the earth, if you believe human beings are all aspects of the goddess, each of us is, you could say, an aspect of the divine. We all have that sacred spark within us. Then you can't just sit back and let idiots destroy this planet, right? And you can't just sit silent in the face of human suffering and horrific injustice. You have to do something about it. And when you do something about it, that to me is part of a spiritual path. As much as meditation or anything you do at the altar, it's what you do to stand up for justice.
And so we all do our bit in the ways we can, but you really put yourself out there, and I know you were very involved in the WTO incidents here in Seattle, and I didn't forget what year that was. It was quite a few years ago.
1999. Wow. Yeah, hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. And I know, because we had our conference at where you were arrested and stayed in. The Brig was later has become a community center here in Seattle, and we've had our conferences there. And people told me, like, Starhawk was here, and she was organizing groups and leading circles in this jail, which wasn't really a jail. It was the only place they could put you guys. You know, but what is it, what is it about being arrested? How does that add to the process of bringing change?
Well, you know, when I got arrested in Seattle, the point wasn't so much to get arrested. We had had a very successful blockade the day before, and the point was to really interrupt the process of the World Trade Organization meeting, because we believed it was really an illegitimate organization. You know, it's a global organization that is entirely undemocratic. It's not transparent at all. There are three trade representatives who make rulings and decisions that can override the laws that we make as citizens in our country, particularly laws like environmental laws, child labor laws, labor safety laws, all of those things. It's like an extra governmental authority. And most people had no idea even that it existed or the scope and the extent of its powers. So by blockading the meeting, we were saying, no, we don't consent to this organization having this much power over our lives and overriding the things that we're trying to do to protect our environment and protect our social organization. The second day, the mayor sort of declared kind of martial law in the city and made downtown a kind of no-protest zone, and we believed that was unconstitutional and a violation of our rights. So we said, well, we're going to go down and we're going to protest anyway. And we did, and we got arrested. And once we were arrested, we said, well, we're not going to just sign a piece of paper and get out of jail if they're going to arrest us. We're going to stay in jail and refuse to get out until we get assured that everybody's going to be treated fairly and treated equally. And so we ended up being in jail for 5 days. And in that time, we had a chance. I met some amazing activists, some incredibly smart, young, mostly younger women. I was the oldest in my cell block. and had a chance to really talk and strategize and organize and think about how to carry the movement on, which it did after Seattle, through many, many other mobilizations around the World Trade Organization, around the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, which were imposing some of the very financial strictures that we now see have devastated the global economy by requiring countries to service huge debts to foreign corporations instead of doing the things that would actually provide for quality of life for their own people. And now I'd say the latest incarnation is the Occupy movement, which has sprung up this fall and is also kind of contesting these same issues around economic inequality and basic unfairness.
Right. I think there's a key word you said in the very beginning, and it was about being transparent. And I think that's one thing these activist groups do is bring awareness to the rest of the world and people in our country, particularly of what is going on, because oftentimes we don't know. And I think just calling for the transparency that people are, that they're accountable, you know, that their actions affect everybody. And it has to do with the power the power over, and which is so tied in with your book, your new book. So tell us what drew you to write this latest book.
My new book is called The Empowerment Manual, A Guide for Collaborative Groups. And it's about group process and group dynamics when we set out to organize together without top-down leadership, without hierarchy. When I was writing it, I really had no idea that this fall, that whole Occupy movement would spring up and people would be massively organizing in that way. But I have been working in groups like that for many, many decades, including the WTO protests, which were organized very much on a model of horizontal direct democracy. And I think all of us, you know, even people who don't consider themselves activists, whenever we get together, whether it's a PTA or whether it's a group of friends deciding to throw a party together, or whether it's a spiritual circle, or whether it's a church group, you know, or whether it's a family deciding how they're going to care for their ailing parent. You know, we're often in groups where no one has the authority to lay down the law, and everybody has to figure out how to negotiate and make decisions together.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that more when we come back from the break. So you're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about this with Starhawk.
TalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We all want deeper, more intimate relationships. But how do we create successful relationships and maintain strong connections? Peter Kane has some real answers. Author of The Monogamy Challenge, Creating and Keeping Intimacy, Peter is one of the original breathworkers and relationship trainers with over 30 years' experience. Breathe, relax, or create intimacy and keep it thriving. Visit peterkane.org or contact Peter Kane at 425-802-2050.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463, or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Well, welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and I'm talking today with Starhawk, and she's the author of the new book, The Empowerment Manual, A Guide for Collaborative Groups. So, Starhawk, can you give your contact information for our listeners, how they can reach you?
www.starhawk.org. And that's also, you can find a link there to where you can get the book. You can get it in bookstores and on Amazon, but you can also get it directly from my website. It's published by New Society, and it's available both as a regular hardcover or softcover book and as an ebook.
Oh, that's great. And did you give your email address? I think I didn't.
You can write me through my assistant, mer@starhawk.org.
Okay, great. So I noticed on your blog that you can click on a link and get a peek inside of your book, and you can also download a free supplementary chapter called The Fivefold Path of Productive Meetings, which I'm going to get. I think that would be... You have a lot of experience in meetings, and so do I, but, you know, we always learn, and we learn from each other. So let's talk about these collaborative books. I got to read lots of different aspects in the book. It's got a lot of great information and exercises and tools that people can use. And so we're talking this collaborative group process. It's like you said, a leaderless group, and there's lots of issues that come up, you know, about understanding power, the different kinds of power. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. In the book, I talk about the need for power to be balanced with responsibility in a healthy group so that you earn power, gain power in the group by taking on responsibility and fulfilling it. And when you take on responsibility, you're empowered by the group with the power or the authority, the license to use power that you need to carry your responsibilities out. And power itself comes in several different flavors. You know, it's not just one kind of thing. There's power over, which I think we're all familiar with from corporations and from jobs and from the military and from school and from the police, command and control power. But there's also what I call power from within, which is more akin to the root meaning of the word power, which comes from the word ability in Latin, actually. It's the things that we do, our ability to write, to create, to sing, to draw, our courage to say a difficult truth in a relationship or stand up together and stand for something we believe in. That kind of power is not limited. If I have some of it, it doesn't take it away from you. There's also a third kind of power that I call social power. That's more about how much respect we get in a group, how much our voice gets listened to. Even when we don't have the formal power to hire or fire somebody, I would imagine, you know, you in some of the groups you're in, because you're a founder and you're someone who's carried a lot of responsibility, your voice carries a certain amount of weight. And that kind of power also kind of comes in two flavors, earned and unearned. When it's unearned, it's what we call privilege, that, you know, that respect you get just because of your skin color or your gender or something that you really haven't worked for, have no control over. And privilege, I think, is something we pretty much would like to do away with because inherently it's not fair. But earned social power, it's what indigenous cultures call eldership. It's the kind of respect that you gain by committing to the group, by taking on responsibilities and fulfilling them. By helping the group move forward, by helping people resolve conflicts and difficulties, by showing good judgment. And I think it's important for our groups, even our egalitarian groups, to really think about ways that people can earn that kind of power and provide opportunities. You know, maybe not everybody is going to start off with an equal voice in every group, but everybody should have an equal opportunity to earn that social power for the group to be egalitarian and to function well.
Yeah, I have that experience at Women of Wisdom, because as more and more people are here, because we're run by a council and consensus, and it's not leaderless, because I think these groups, there is a need for leaders, but it's about sharing the leadership. And so as people stay on board longer, you see them start to earn that earned social power, because in that respect, because they put their dues in, you know, they've worked hard, and they can command that respect, because now they're knowledgeable. It's not just me anymore. There's several people who are knowledgeable, and it's about stepping up when it's your area of expertise, you know, to step up. And also to develop, it's mentoring, developing others the ability to how they can get that earned power, social power too, so that everybody can participate more and more.
And when groups are clear about that and transparent, when people can come into a group maybe and say, oh, okay, I see how it is that I can gain respect in this group. I volunteer for a committee, you know, I take on the recycling task or whatever it is, then I think people feel empowered, because then they can make a choice. And when groups aren't clear about that, even groups that think they are warm and fuzzy and intuitive and feminist and, you know, organic, but people look at them and go, how'd they all get in that collective? You know, right? What did you do to get to be in that in-group? I can't figure it out. Then they're not empowering. And
sometimes it's hard to know that, because some people might have a perspective and not realize, oh, they can just volunteer, come into it. But, you know, so it's kind of tricky. It's kind of, you try sometimes as much as you put it out there and say there's opportunities to volunteer, if they have it in their mindset. So it's, you have to put it out there a lot. You have to make it, you know, being visible and being transparent about it, and always, and I think the more they see more people involved, they'll see, oh, it is a group I can join. We get a lot of people come who've moved to the city of Seattle, and they're new, and they find us because they want to get into some community. And they come in and they love it because they found an instant community in a way, and they get involved. And but you know, you talk about that interesting, this power, social power, that privilege. It can be such a fine line of going from that earned and correct social power to when you cross over into privilege. And
and it's, you know, there are areas where sometimes it's kind of a blend of the two. Like, you know, sometimes people are articulate because they have a good education. Well, that might be partly privilege. Maybe you grew up in a family like my family where it was always expected from the day one that I would go to college and get an education. Other people might have to really fight hard, even for their family, to support the idea that they might want to go to college. But at the same time, if you go and you do the work, you know, and you study and you learn, then, you know, you have also earned some of that education and some of that power. So it's not always just completely one or the other.
Yes, I want to read a quote from your book I pulled out. We don't have to give up our power to support another in their goals and challenges. Instead, we can put our power and privilege to use in service of goals we identify with.
Right. I like to think about Lord of the Rings, you know, the story with Frodo carrying the ring to Mordor. And because I think it's a great model of power, you know, in that story, Frodo is the one who's the central character, the protagonist. He's the one carrying the ring, and everybody else's role is really in support of that goal. And yet, the other people that he has supporting that, some of them are enormously powerful people in their own right, like Gandalf the Wizard or Aragorn, the rightful king. You know, they're not like wussy little meaningless filler kinds of people. They're very, very powerful, but they're able to take that power and put it to the service of something that they all see as a goal. And I think sometimes, especially if we're working in communities that we're not a part of, where maybe there's a history of oppression between us, or we're trying to figure out how to support the goals of some people that we are interested in helping to empower or stand in solidarity with, it's a useful model to say, oh, yeah, I can be a very powerful person and still actually put that power to the service of a mission and let somebody else be the one who's actually carrying the ring. I don't always have to carry the ring.
Yeah, that's great. And to think of that in terms of service. So one of the, and you mentioned too, we talked about one of the more challenging things around collaborative groups is dealing with accountability. And I'd like to talk about that when we come back from our commercial break. So I'm Chris Stainis, and you are listening to Voices of Women. When we come back, we'll talk more with Starhawk.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts are specialty products with less sodium, up to 68% than standard table salt, free of any chemicals or artificial flavors. Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts maintain 84 necessary minerals for a balanced diet and healthy body. All Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts may be purchased at oceansflavor.com. And now, Ocean's Flavor natural less sodium sea salts has introduced heart health the gourmet seasonings at 68% less sodium than table salt. Available in Mexican, Italian, garlic, seasoned, Asian, barbecue, Cajun, and Chipotle flavors. The sodium is the lowest of any seasonings on the market today. Purchase heart-healthy gourmet seasonings on the web at oceansflavor.com and in many national grocery chains. Oceansflavor.com, the only salt company that produces 100% natural, low-sodium sea salt.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and you were just listening to Lorraine Bays, who's on our Woman of Wisdom CD. And I encourage you to check that out on our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. It's got some great music from Holly Neer, Rihanna, and Libby Roderick, and many others. So today I'm talking with Starhawk, and we're talking about her new book, The Empowerment Manual, A Guide for Collaborative Groups. So we've been talking about, we were just getting into issue of accountability. And I know it's one of the issues that we have dealt with. And I've been leading Women of Wisdom for many years in a circle leadership model. And one of the things that we have discovered is, as an issue, especially all women, we get into process a lot and getting to action. But the whole accountability, especially when you're volunteering, how do you get people to be accountable for the things they say they're going to do? You come back a month later and they haven't done it yet. And any advice you can give on that, Starhawk?
Yes. Well, one of the things I talk about in the book is sort of a model like a mandala or a talisman of healthy groups, where power and responsibility are one axis that needs to be in balance, and where trust and accountability are the other axis that needs to be in balance. And it's all held within the circle of the group's vision. So I think in a healthy group, we have to be able to entrust people with challenges, with tasks, with areas of autonomy where they get to make decisions and where they get to use their own creativity and their own judgment. Otherwise, it's really no fun, you know, being in a group. But in order to do that, people have to be accountable. You know, we have to know that they've done it, and we have to have a way that the group can hold people accountable. So, you know, there are many different ways of accountability. Probably the most common one is you have meetings and you come back to the meetings and people say, yes, I did what I took on, the task I took on, or no, I didn't do the task I took on. Sometimes it helps to have particular roles. Like we have a role in Reclaiming, which is my extended spiritual network, we call the crow, the person who keeps an overview. And sometimes that's the person who's kind of like the coordinator, the one who's really looking, just making sure that everybody is doing the tasks that they said they were going to do, that the things that really are vital and need to happen by deadlines are getting done. And if they're not, to find someone who can pick up the pieces and make sure that they do get done. There are many, many different models groups can use. In Reclaiming, we have working groups, we call cells, that send representatives to a council that meets four times a year. And we also have a group of three we call the triumvirate, who are empowered to make decisions that come up between those meetings. Not huge policy decisions, but minor decisions, you know, but things that need to be dealt with in a timely fashion. And they're also empowered to decide, oh, this question is actually way too big for us. This really needs to be decided in a larger kind of process. And then when they have the quarterly meetings, people hear about what they have done and what they've decided, and that's how they're accountable to the larger group.
Well, that's interesting. So I guess I can call myself a crow now, because I am the one that keeps that overview to make sure, you know, you got to check.
Yeah.
You do have to have someone check. We've tried to, I would like to see that, it, you know, it doesn't have to be me, the founder. It could be somebody who takes on the role of just checking in with people during mid-month that, hey, you know, have you been able to do this? Do you need any help? I like the idea of that triumvirate, and I was actually working towards that when I was trying to come up with a new model of leadership. I thought in terms of a triad kind of leadership. And I think sometimes when you're around long enough, your group's held that long, you can start to identify who might be in that kind of a group that can make decisions between meetings, or you don't have to go to the whole group, because that can be cumbersome too. So what are I'm curious, the pitfalls that you can in a leadership group of and what you're right, the pitfalls that groups fall into, and one, I guess maybe you can talk about this in relationship to, because it's timely and you've been working with it, the Occupy Wall Street groups that you've been working with.
Well, I think one of the challenges for groups that are not hierarchical is, in a hierarchy, you kind of have someone who stands in for mom and dad. So if you have a conflict, you know, there's kind of somebody who can say, all right, you kids, work it out. Or, you know, in the end, you know what? You're fired. And in a non-hierarchical group, you can't do that as easily. So it can be much more difficult to move conflict out of a group or to resolve it or to get people to deal with it directly. I think it takes the group having a commitment and doing some talking about how they want to resolve conflicts, ideally before they have one.
Yes, that would be ideal.
Yeah, right. Because when you have one, then you often are in conflict, and it's harder to come to agreement about how you want to deal with it. You know, some of the other pitfalls, I think, are that groups want to be so egalitarian that they make it hard for anyone to actually earn that eldership, that social power, that respect. And if you don't allow groups to, you know, people in your groups to somehow earn that social power fairly and transparently, you know, out of some idea that egalitarianism means that nobody has any power differentiations at all within the group, then you end up actually being very disempowering to the people who have the most investment and the most commitment in your group. You'll often find people will leave, people will feel very disrespected, particularly when groups go on over time. Because if you're an occupation and you've all just gone down and sat, you know, down in the middle of Seattle and you've been there for a week, you know, you all have a relatively equal investment in the thing. But if you're women of wisdom and you've been going on for, what, 20 years now? Is it 30 mm-hmm. years? You know, and you've been involved with that and it's been a major part of your life, you have a much different stake in it than somebody who just walks in off the street, you know, tomorrow and maybe decides they have a better idea of how to run things than you do. So giving that person an absolute equal say and equal voice might seem more equal, but it's deeply unfair.
And how we deal with that is we allow the voice. I mean, I think it's important for them to have a voice in the process. Everybody contributes to the process.
Yeah, because at the same time, if you only allow the people who've been around for a long time to have a voice, then the group can often get rigid and exclusive and disempowering and loses the new people. So
right, and there's a lot of new, the new people bring a lot of new creative energies towards things and some great ideas. And so it's learning that balance. And sometimes joining a new group, sometimes you have to sit back to see where the land lies, you know, to know where to fit in. And I've seen people do it that way and it works really well. And I've seen other people do it where they jump in and there's a clash because they haven't understood the process.
And sometimes letting people know or even making it formal or very, you know, like, hey, come sit in on our meetings for a month and then you'll be eligible to join. And be part of the decision making.
And there's lots. It's about creating those ground rules or the principles that you want to operate by, so that people know when they know, they're more able to move into the and participate, get into that place of social power earned faster because they understand what this group is about. And so, I would imagine you do that a lot, where you identify. And do you have exercises in your book about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of exercises in the book. You know, the book is really designed for groups to take and work with. You know, so there's both exercises and there's also sets of questions to ask and discuss about the groups that you're in and look at. And my hope is that it'll be a really helpful tool for groups to help improve the ways that we work together.
Oh, I think it will. And I was just, you know, reading some of the things, like you even go into, you know, how do you eject somebody? Because sometimes people aren't a match for your group and it's more, they're causing more harm and disharmony in the group. And, you know, how do you do that with compassion and gracefully? You know, because there's a proper way of doing that. We're here.
Yeah.
I would think, you know.
And sometimes, you know, I think often we're really hesitant to ever say to somebody, you need to leave the group. You know, we're all kind, compassionate people. We don't want to kick anybody out. But if a group can't ever say, you know what, you know, we have certain boundaries that you're not respecting, or we have certain agreements that you're not respecting, and you need to go, then it can't really be open about letting new people in. I mean, we found that in reclaiming at one point, you know, we had no way to ever get anybody out, and we became really paranoid about ever letting anybody in because we were afraid if they didn't work out, we could never get rid of them again. So we had become very insular and very closed. And I think simply acknowledging, oh, all right, there's certain criteria for asking someone to leave, and there's a certain process and a kind of due process. So it's not just one person's vendetta against another, but it's, you know, a process of saying, here's the agreements, here's how you violated them. You know, giving people a chance to reform or to change their behavior, giving people mentoring if they need it.
Yeah, that's important, and that you do need to approach them, and sometimes they aren't aware of what they're doing, and you need to give them the chance and allow that people can change. Well, this is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and when we come back from our break, we will continue this conversation with Starhawk.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Have you ever wanted to join a yoga class, yet felt self-conscious or simply didn't have the time? Now you can bring live Kundalini Yoga into your home with KRI-certified Dr. Ann Taylor. You will learn a scientific technology of movement, mantra, meditation, and breathing techniques designed to balance your mind, body, and spirit. Sign up today for our free newsletter and receive your first class free. Visit Ann with an E, Taylor.com.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Women of Wisdom.
back. This is Chris Stanis, and I'm the host of Voices of Women. You just heard Lorraine Bay sing our Woman of Wisdom theme song. She'll be singing that at our opening night. We're having Jean Shinoda Bolen and Naomi Tutu speaking on February 16th in Seattle. So we hope you're going to join us in Seattle. So, Starhawk, please give everyone your website address and your contact information and where
sure.
people can find your book.
My website is www.starhawk.org, and my contact information is mer@starhawk.org. And you can find my book online on my website. You can also find a free download there called The Fivefold Path of Productive Meetings. That's a supplement to the new book, The Empowerment Manual. You can also find it at bookstores and online on my website, and also I'm sure on Amazon and New Society, which is the publishers, on their website. It's available as an ebook as well as a regular, you know, real book, I guess.
A real book, which you might need to take to your group meetings, you know. Uh-huh. And I think I want to encourage everybody to get this book. If you are part of a group and you want to, I know I'm starting a business to consult with groups and organizations that want to bring about a new type of what we call collaborative leadership, or going to the horizontal format versus a hierarchy. And so to have this book come forward now, it's timely. I think we're all moving in kind of this direction, and it's helpful to know people who have been working in this area, which you have for many years, more than me. And so I want to commend you for that. It's, you know, and it's challenging work, but it's also inspiring work. I mean, I know at Women of Wisdom, people come away feeling, you know, you end a meeting and you're just like, so excited to have been part of this process.
Well, there's nothing that feels more wonderful than a group when it's really humming along and it's a supportive environment that brings out everybody's creativity, and where you feel like there's a synergy, you know, so that what you're bringing to the group then becomes more than what you can possibly do on your own.
That's so true, yes.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful feeling. And you know, part of the reason I wrote the book is that my hope is that, you know, by just understanding certain things and looking at our norms and looking at how we treat each other and making certain shifts, we can all have that feeling a lot more often. And when we do, we're a lot more effective, and all of the amazing and wonderful work that we're all doing is going to be more effective. And boy, we really need that to happen in this world right now, and we need it to happen fast.
Yeah, and given that when we do all this work, we were talking about conflict and when you have somebody you need to, perhaps it's time to leave the group, but there always is conflict. And you had something in your book about constructive conflict. And, you know, a lot of times we feel like we've been attacked by someone. And, you know, I've certainly felt it. Other people, I've seen other people feel that they've been attacked, and how you can turn that into a thoughtful critique rather than just feeling like, oh my God, what did that person just do to me? How uh-huh. could they do that? So how do we do that? How can you tell people to, what's some skills to take something like that where you have felt personally attacked into a thoughtful critique that perhaps you can learn something from?
Well, first of all, it's understanding what makes for a constructive critique, that its intention is to improve the work, and that it's specific. It's not just, oh, I hated that ritual, or, oh, that conference was the worst ever. But, you know, something like, you know, when you were leading the trance and the ritual, your voice was so soft, I couldn't hear anything. So I lost interest at that point. You know, something specific you can change makes it helpful, makes it constructive. I think a lot of times we get in trouble in groups because we're afraid of conflict. But conflict isn't something we need to fear. If we can look at conflict as drama, conflict is excitement. Conflict means that we feel passionate about things and we may have different ideas about things. If we can learn to do conflict well so it doesn't turn into personal attack, then it can actually strengthen our groups. And if someone comes at you with, oh, that was the worst conference ever, instead of getting defensive about it, maybe stepping back a minute and saying, Really? Can you be specific?
I think it's asking the question, asking questions instead of going to the defense, which is so easy to do.
Yeah.
We all do it. It's just to go, I'm curious. Why did you think that was a bad conference or whatever it is? And it might just be some little thing that's not, it was one aspect, one thing, and it's not as overwhelmingly horrible as you assume when someone comes across it that way.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's so much more we could talk about, but...
I know. But I just want to mention people because in the intro, I mentioned that you were going to be creating your novel, which is The Sacred Thing, is going to be a movie. So you're working on a movie project for it.
Yes, I'm working with two wonderful producers, Philip Wood and Paradox Pollock. And we... for me, it's a step up into another kind of collaboration. I didn't originally intend to be part of the producing team, but I really felt like Philip, who actually was the one who bought the option on the book, was so welcoming, and that if I were able to work with him collaboratively, then I would have much more of a voice in how the ultimate movie turns out. So that's been a very exciting arena for even another whole level of collaboration.
Well, that's fun. That's fun stuff, I think.
And people can find out more about it. We have a website for the movie. That's fifthsacredthing.com.
And when do you expect the movie to be completed?
Well, we're still at very early stages now. We're in development with it. We had a very successful campaign on Kickstarter this summer, which is a crowdfunding website gave us the seed money we need to get our whole investment packet together to really go after the financing. So keep your fingers crossed for us this winter and spring, and we hope to really be moving into pre-production by the summer.
Oh, that would be fabulous, because I know it's a fabulous novel. If people out there haven't read it, it's taking the work you do and that societal structure about collaborative working together in an exciting novel way. So,
yeah, the novel really envisions a collaborative society, and and what happens when that society gets invaded by a very power over dominator society, and how they can defend themselves without turning into what they're fighting against.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Starhawk, for being here today. It was great to talk to you.
I'll be up in your area next summer. We're doing an Earth Activist training in August at our Eco Village up on Vancouver Island. So.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, thanks for all the work you're doing for everybody and for our planet. So I'd like to leave everyone with this thought today. Think about how you can bring a collaborative style of leadership to the groups that you participate in. Think about the various levels of power and how it can be shared so everyone has a voice and contributes to the changes on our planet. I want to remind people about our 20th conference, Women of Wisdom, February 16th to the 20th. You can register on our website. There's one early bird special for IMSARA's two-day intensive. That is February 15th and 16th. Go to our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. You can just go to one event or you can go the whole weekend. So sign up for our newsletter at Women of Wisdom also and find out about our monthly events. And I want to particularly thank Dr. Pat for the Dr. Pat Show for co-sponsoring our conference for many years. And we look forward to seeing you in Seattle in February. So have a great weekend, everybody. A great holiday week. And we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.